And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I know probably many more wanted to come, and we always invite you to come down at the end of the service. I'll be up here to just praise God with you if you want to put a stone in. Feel free to come and take a picture. I know some of you enjoy that as well after the service. And what a special time, and what a special God we have, and what a joy it is. Hopefully it stirs your heart to hear what he's done in the lives of your brothers and sisters and reminds you of things you can praise him for. And I hope you take up the spirit of this tradition around your own tables and in your own homes this week and in this season. And, well, I don't want to ruin all this by talking about politics, but I want to show you some very political pictures this morning. Here we have presidents and turkeys. And it's long been a thing in the White House for presidents to do things with turkeys on Thanksgiving. But in 1989, President George H.W. Bush officially pardoned a turkey for the first time. He said, and I quote, "He will not end up on anyone's dinner table, not this guy. He's granted a presidential pardon as of right now. And I allow him to live out his days on a children's farm not far from here." And ever since then, every year, evidently, a president has pardoned one lucky turkey. And they've gone on to live in farms, and some even, from what I understand, in Disney World after receiving this pardon. You know, as believers in Christ, we have been pardoned of the penalty due us because of our sin. But that pardon did not come in any trivial way. It came at a great cost of the life of Jesus Christ himself, who took our sin upon himself, paid the penalty that we deserve, death, and became our sacrifice on the cross. He died in our place as a substitute for us. Hebrews 10, we've been in the book of Hebrews, and you remember Hebrews 10 describes the once and for all sacrifice of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, it talks about in the Old Testament, remember the readers of Hebrew were coming out of a Jewish background and were well acquainted with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. And Hebrews 10 describes it and says, "Day after day, back then, every priest would stand and perform his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Hebrews 10, verse 12. "But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God," because it was finished. Verse 14. "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 describes the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. We don't come today, having received Jesus as our Savior, with animals to sacrifice at the altar. Aren't you glad for that, by the way? But see, one of the questions they'd ask in Hebrews as we come to the end of the book, and they've heard all about Jesus and how he's fulfilled and replaced the sacrificial system of the Old Testament in that way. One of the questions they would naturally have is, well, then what does worship look like for us? Because worship had always involved sacrifices for atonement for God's people as they thought of things. And so in Hebrews chapter 13, one of the things that the writer does is describe what worship looks like for believers today. Now we can read the words on the screen. Let's read these together. 1, 2, 3. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." I want to talk with you this morning briefly about our sacrifice of thanksgiving. What does our worship look like today? We see it in Hebrews 13. We don't come with animals into the house of God, but we come to offer, first of all, praise to God. Not just thankfulness in general. I want you to be careful about this. It's good to be thankful and to express thankfulness, but as believers, we're particularly thankful to God himself. We thank God specifically for His blessings in our life. And any thanksgiving ought to be focused on Him. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above, James writes, coming down from the Father. In Romans chapter 11, 36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our praise needs to be focused on the Lord. And we come to offer praise to God, we see in this verse, through who? Through Jesus. Which means we don't come on the basis of our circumstances. Wasn't that something to hear? Praise offered today in the midst of great victory and great healing, also in the midst of great hurt and great loss, but people still praising God because we don't come through circumstances. We come through Jesus Christ, who is the same, the writer just said in this chapter, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't come because of tradition or because of a holiday, but we come because of Jesus to offer thanksgiving. I love what Habakkuk writes, the old prophet in chapter 3, as he says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. Read this together. What does he say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. And if a prophet of the Old Testament could rejoice in such a way before Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, how much more can we rejoice in our God and Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13 says we come through Jesus, and it says we come continually. Continually. There is a continual sacrifice, but it's not for our sins. It's our sacrifice of praise to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read this together. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We come continually. We come and give thanks in all circumstances. You know, most of the Old Testament sacrifices under that system did involve atonement. There was atonement for sin through those sacrifices. They became a substitution for the people, but not all of them. In Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 15, we read about what was called the thank offering. And this was an opportunity God gave His people in the Old Testament to just come and say thank you. It was a free will offering. You weren't required to do it, but if you wanted to, what you would do is you'd bake a bunch of bread, and then you'd offer an animal. But then what you got to do with this sacrifice is you got to then eat that meat and that food. You got to probably eat it around a table with family and friends. You see, what was happening was you were investing in this offering, and then you were eating and sharing it and giving thanks to God together. It was a thank offering. Doesn't that sound like part of what Thanksgiving should be today? We think of the first Thanksgiving as 400 years ago. God had taught His people to give thanks and to share and invest in a meal and to eat it with thanks together long before anything happened 400 years ago. This was 3,500 years ago. God longs for us to come freely, not out of duty, but freely to give Him thanks and to share in that with one another. Notice Hebrews 13 says, this is the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Your translation might say openly praise His name, but really, it's openly, the word is confess here. Confess His name. The idea is that one who confesses the name of Jesus should bear fruit of praise coming from their lips. The idea is if you know Jesus, you've always got something to speak of to give God praise. Again, this is the legacy of God's people. It's what God's people do. Read Psalm 34 with me, verses 1 to 3. I will extol the Lord at all times, nice and loud. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glory in the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. His praise is always where? On our lips, being spoken. I remember a long time ago, a man was in counseling together with his wife, with me, and she was wishing for some more affection from him at times. And he said, I told her I loved her when I married her, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know. He was kind of kidding. But that's not what God longs for from us. He loves to hear us thank him with his lips. Look at Psalm 103. Let's read this aloud together as well. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefit. You know, who's he talking to there? He's kind of talking to himself, first and foremost. Praise the Lord, my soul. You know, sometimes we got to say, come on, soul, come on. Let's not get down here. Let's get our focus off of ourselves, soul. We know it's hard, but let's praise the Lord. We got to remind ourselves of the goodness of God and teach our soul to give praise to the Lord, even in the midst of hard times. There's much to praise for. Psalm 100, some of you heard me say this on your way in this morning. Let's read this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God longs for us to come into his presence with something on our lips to thank him for. His work, in a way, I don't know, could you say his work isn't fully completed until his people praise him for it? God longs to hear his people give him praise. We worship God today by offering praise to him, and also, secondly, by offering generosity to others. Our text in Hebrews 13 said, and don't forget, we can be so self-consumed, right? Don't forget to do good and to share with others from what God has shared with you. God invites us here, in light of what he's done, to live our lives with an open hand. We can be so tight-fisted and protective of what God has given us freely. God says, no, open your hand, loosen your grip. Look to share. Why? That's part of our sacrifice, and it is supposed to be a sacrifice. It's supposed to cost us something. That's the essence of worship. But we share what he's provided and blessed us with others. This too is what God's people do. This is really part of the legacy of Thanksgiving in our land. It was 400 years ago, 1620, when about 102 pilgrims arrived plus some crew on the Mayflower after a treacherous journey. And they arrived in late November, just in time for winter. And many of them, in fact, most of them, only 50 of them, many of them did not make it through winter. Only 50 of them survived until basically through that first winter. And yet still no one returned home. And that first season of coming out of winter in springtime, contrary to sort of some of the ideas we get about this time, initially there was great peace between the pilgrims and the Native Americans. In fact, the Native Americans were so key to their survival. They shared with them what they knew. They taught them how to farm. There was a peace treaty there with Massasoit, the leader of the Wampanoags, and the pilgrims. And there was great peace. And by autumn, they recognized that they had much to be thankful for. And of course, that wouldn't always be the case between them. But initially, there was great peace and great thanksgiving that they shared in together. You know, Edward Winslow was one of the pilgrims, and he wrote home a letter. It's one of our clearest accounts of this first Thanksgiving. And he writes this about that first Thanksgiving in 1621. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, hunting for birds, that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. And they kill enough birds to serve the whole company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out, Massasoit's men, and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And he closes with this: "And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." And this is what's true for God's people. Often, not as abundant as we might prefer, but always so far from want that we would long to share with others what God has blessed us with. This is the legacy of thanksgiving. This is what God has called his people to recognize his abundant provision and to long to share it with others. What has God given you that you could share in this season as part of your worship of him? I wanted to just praise God for the generosity of our church. Even in this past year, you know, we have a fund called Helping Hand. So when you give to 4C, if you just give a check or online to 4C, or put your offering in the box out here, that'll go to our general fund. That's generous as well. That invests in the ministry here. That's what goes to our global partners. And I just praise God for his provision, even this year, through the generosity of his people. But then some of you give even above and beyond that to a fund called Helping Hand, which is just there to help people who are in need, especially within our church family, sometimes beyond that as the Lord leads. And, you know, this year, God's people here gave $81,000 to Helping Hand. It's just incredible. $38,000 of that was distributed this year. The only reason more wasn't is because we weren't aware of more needs. So I wanted to say to you this morning, if you're aware of needs, especially within our church family, but even at times we might discern some beyond that, like let your elders, let your pastors know. We want to be generous, and people have given toward that. And I praise God for so many here who want to be a helping hand to others. But whatever that looks like in our lives this Thanksgiving, let's make room in our hearts and in our homes and in our lives to do good, to be generous to others. This is part of our sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13, what does worship look like now for God's people if it doesn't involve animal sacrifice, the sacrificial system through Jesus? Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Pleased. God is pleased. You want to bring pleasure to your Heavenly Father. Oh, speak his praise. Share with others. Bless your God. Let me pray. Father, would you be blessed today by the praise of your people and by the good that we do? May we not forget what you have said this morning. As we come into this holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, special days, special gatherings, I pray, first of all, Lord, that you would meet with us, that no one would feel alone, Lord, that we would open our hearts and homes to each other, but then that our celebrations would be focused on you, so that, Lord, whether in plenty or in want, we would receive abundance through your provision in Christ and give you praise. Would you fix our hearts upon you, God? You've been so good to us. We thank you most of all for Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen.